You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show.
It's fucking Starling Castro doesn't even want to play there.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Talk to me when we're done with this, because we're doing the Marlins, and I know you're going to be shocked, but there's a guy named Castro that wants nothing to do with Miami this year.
So. Yeah, I may leave that part before I started just right in there.
Right.
So you may see why I was laughing through this whole intro. But we're going to be talking about the Marlins. Before we do, remind everybody to reach Matt on Twitter, at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter, at JustinMasonFWFB. This will likely be a very quick prospect minute. Staying true to the name, we are talking about the Miami Marlins, or as you like to call them, the Fighting Jeters.
Right.
So why don't you go ahead and start with guys who might be close to the majors?
Sure. He's a little bit down on the prospect list, but I think Dylan Peters had a nice run last year. Mm-hmm. For a while. Good three-pitch mix with the fastball, the curveball, and the changeup. Throws them all, you know, significant amount of the time, 49% on the fastball, 12% on the changeup, 37% on the curveball. 91 miles an hour from the left side, not great. 84 mile an hour changeup, 78 mile an hour curveball. He's a command control guy. 5'9", 195, so he's a bit on the short side, to say the least. But he's a guy that he's, you know, University of Texas standout. He was a nice pitcher in college, so I've been kind of tracking him for a while. Got hurt, disappeared a little bit, bounced back. He's crafty to the definition of the word. But, you know, what he lacks in stuff and team behind him, I guess he bumps up with, you know, moxie and, you know, knowing how to pitch. He's a good sequencing guy, and we're leading off the Marlins prospect list with a back end starter. So, yeah, good days. Another guy that I actually do like, this guy, no joke, Brian Anderson. He had a big he kind of bust on the map. In 2016, he led the Arizona Fall League in 2016 with 5 home runs. So it was, which was a bit different because he had 11 in all of 2016, and, you know, across, you know, A ball and Double A. Repeated Double A in 2017, hit 14 in that league. Was called up to Triple A, hit 8. So he ended up with 22. And minor leagues doesn't have the same juice ball effects as the major leagues did this year. So it was more, it was closer. It mirrored it a little bit more, but it wasn't quite, you know, where it was. He was in the PCL, but New Orleans is actually the pitcher-friendly park in the PCL. So he had 22 homers. Doesn't walk in a great deal, but enough, 11% in Miami, which was played better than his 9% in New Orleans. So I think he's an average guy across the board, kind of vanilla prospect, 270, 280 average, 18 to 20 homers from third base. Not a lot of projection there, but you know, he doesn't need to stick in the minor leagues that much anymore, because what else is he going to – he's not going to get that much better. Former third-round pick out of Arkansas, got the SEC pedigree, just needs a Martin Prado injury or trade to, you know, clear the way to regular playing time. And if you're an NL-only league, this is a guy you can target to play corner. You could do worse than him to play your corner infield spot. So Brian Anderson's a nice name to file away.
Currently projected to be the starting third baseman – according to Roster Resource, they've got Martin Prado playing left.
Now he might have to, actually, because that outfield's not.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're going to play John Norwood, who I actually have never heard of.
Vanderbilt guy.
And
had a game-winning home run in the College World Series, I think, one game.
And J.B. Stuck, yeah. Is their other. Is their right. Big free agent acquisition.
Man. Well, excuse me, the Fighting Jeters are when they trade Realmuto and Yelich, which I think they have to, and Castro, I think you have to get rid of those guys. I don't think they probably won't, because, you know, they won't, but I think they will
at some point. I think they've just got to wait for this market, this free agent market, to clear itself. But someone will, especially for Yelich. I mean, I think Real Muto will get moved too, but I just don't know necessarily at this point that there's a huge market for catcher. But yeah, Yelich will get moved. Castro will definitely get moved, but I think they've got to wait for the free agent market to clear out, and I think they'll get good returns for him.
Yeah, they have to. They can't have another Marcell Ozuna return or Stanton return. They can't afford, literally can't. But since we're talking about Ozuna, we'll talk about the two guys they got back there, the two major league guys. The Magnair Sierra, the outfielder, obviously had a decent debut with the Cardinals, 317, 359, 317 slug, 6% walk rate, 77% contact rate. To put it frankly, he wasn't ready, and he still performed decently well. But this is where, you know, me being a Cardinal fan comes into play here, because I watched him play a lot. He's a spark plug, but, like, to say his 317 batting average was fluky, it was extremely fluky. Large percentage of infield hits. I remember quite a few of his ground balls that he would hit that would bounce off bases and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, or balls that would go, you know, facing John Lester, he'd put the ball in play and Lester would field it, but then can't throw it. You know what I mean? So, like, Sierra would, you know, get on that way. He's advertised as a potential stolen base threat, which he can be. He's got game-breaking speed. I was talking to Mike Petriello on Twitter a while back when they're rolling out the speed scores for StatCast data. Sierra doesn't have enough data to be in the pool, which I guess my complaint there is for straight-line speed, you probably don't need a big sample.
No.
I mean, to be honest. But he didn't have enough samples, so they didn't include him. But I asked Petriello, because I knew Sierra, he could fly. The dude can flat out fly. And he said Sierra had the fastest first to third time in the major leagues by a considerable amount, which is interesting stuff. I mean, you could obviously tell he's got speed. Mm-hmm. 20 for 30 stealing bases for a guy with plus speed is terrible. He just gets bad jumps. He's two for four in the major leagues in his call-up for the Cardinals, 22-game sample. They wouldn't even use him as a pinch runner, though, because he's bad at getting jumps. He's not a stolen base threat consistently enough because he gets thrown out a lot or picked off a lot. He's just not – or he gets bad jumps and runs back to the bag. He's just so raw on the bases. I don't think he can ever hit lefties either. I think the big piece they got back from Marcell Ozuna's best-case scenario is going to be Jared Dyson with what they're going to get out of Sierra, if that.
But that could be a valuable fantasy piece.
Right, but yeah, because his calling card is going to be his outfield defense, which I think is great. So he'll play, and if he gets that stolen bases and stuff, if he improves on that, he'll be a valuable asset. But I just don't think he'll be efficient enough to do that. He's billed as – I keep reading things about him. He's advertised as a top-of-the-order hitter. The hell he is. He's a terrible hitter. I watched him. He's not a good hitter. He's a slap hitter. With plus speed and elite defense. That's the game. And he's a left-handed hitter, slap hitter, so he gets out of the box real fast. But for me, he's the kind of guy you bat ninth in the National League and hit your pitcher eighth, or he's just a nine-hitter all the way through and through. No power whatsoever. I don't think he hit the ball out of the infield on a fly, to be honest with you. It's not a pretty package altogether. I wasn't the high guy on Sierra, if you couldn't tell. 5'11", 160. I don't think he's going to produce much power. And if he does, he's going to lose that speed. So I don't think you want him to add power. It's a troubling profile to get back for Ozuna, who is, you know, basically an MVP candidate this year with the numbers he put up. Better team he would have been. Other guy they got back is Sandy Alcantara. I like him better. 6'4", 170. He's got a ton of projection. 95 to 98 on the fastball. Was topped out at 102 miles an hour. The Triple A numbers, the minor league numbers weren't great because he walked six and walked only struck out 7.6, and he walked four guys per nine. Double A 4.31 ERA for a guy like this is underwhelming. I think this is good for this trade is really good for his long term future though, because I think in the Marlins they have no reason not to convert him to the bullpen. if you would have stayed in St. Louis, you're talking about an option for potential late inning, you know what I mean? Relief with the way that roster set up and all the starting pitching depth they have. You know, he's a guy now with this organization that has a good chance to start in the Arizona Fall League, which he was voted best changeup, which is an interesting, very, very positive development because that was his worst pitch by far going into the season. So if he turns around, he's got the plus-plus fastball with the velocity. The command isn't quite where it needs to be yet, and he's got a nice curveball. So Alcantara could be a nice guy to file away. He should be ready sometime late this year, but again, with the Marlins, no reason to rush him. I mean, he's only pitched 8 innings with the Cardinals last year in the majors, so you could easily hold him down this year. You know,
I got a question for you.
He's only 22. Go ahead.
I had someone who asked me on Twitter. They're in a 30-team dynasty league. They had, I think it was Johan Camargo of the
Atlanta Braves.
Of the Braves, and some people were interested in him. He asked me a bunch of prospect guys, and Alcantara was one of them. And I said I would take Alcantara for him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's a gamble, mm-hmm. but it's one that could pay off. The Marlins do, for much hit as they get, they do fairly well in pitching.
All right, the other options were Dilson Herrera or Brett Phillips.
It depends on team need. I'd probably go Alcantara there if you want. Alcantara, Phillips, Herrera would be how I'd rank him. And Phillips, Alcantara is basically a pick 'em for me, depending on your team need.
I figure Alcantara has a higher upside.
He definitely does. Yeah, and Phillips is more the floor guy. You're absolutely right on that. Another high upside arm they got back from Stanton, and the Stanton deal was Jorge Guzman, came from the Astros, from the Yankees, now the Marlins. He's kind of 22 years old and will be at low A, so he might move. He's the same age of Alcantara, but he hasn't advanced past low A, and Alcantara has been in the majors already. I like Guzman a lot, though. I do think he's got the big fastball up at the 95 miles an hour, can touch higher. Curveball is a nice pitch, telegraphs the changeup a little bit with the arm action. Might be reliever long term, but with again, the Marlins have no reason to do that. So, you know, he's a guy to follow. Trevor Rogers was their first-round pick last year out of the university. Excuse me, a high school kid out of New Mexico. No, hold on. Yeah, high school kid out of New Mexico. My bad. High school kid out of New Mexico, 6'6", 185. He didn't pitch last year because they shut him down after they drafted him. Braxton Garrett didn't pitch last year either because he had Tommy John. He didn't throw a pitch in 2016 because he had Tommy John. Came back in 2017, threw 15 innings, struck out over a batter per. In A-ball, so he had Tommy John after 15 innings in 2017. I'm sorry, my notes are all jumbled up. After 2017, he threw 15 innings. He sat out 2016 after getting drafted because they wanted to keep his innings down. In 2017, he was deemed fully healthy, threw 15 innings, hurt his arm. Now he's going to miss all of 2018 with an arm injury. That's not positive development signs at all, anywhere. So he's going to miss all the season, like I said. He's going to build up innings, be ready for 2019. That's all he can do. Is just 2019, they have to let him go. And with Tyler Kolek, another guy, they just have no luck with high school pitching prospects in Miami. Shut down Rogers, which for innings. They shut down Garrett, and then he got hurt. So now you essentially lost two full seasons. And now you lost a partial season after he got drafted. Lost a full season in 2017. Now you're going to lose a full 2018 for your first overall pick. You know, your first round draft pick. You're getting nothing out of him for that long. So the way they develop pitchers is not great. Brian Miller is a nice outfield prospect from the University of North Carolina. Good walk rate, good contact percentage, 20 stolen bases in the minor leagues, no power. A good sleeper prospect, James Nelson, also a third baseman. I like the profile here. 7 homers, 6 stolen bases. 73% contact rate, which isn't great. 6% walks, but 309, 354, 456. I like to swing. He's got a lot of raw power in there. 6'2", well, you know, almost 200 pounds. Joe Dunnan is A-Rod's nephew from North Carolina State. You know, he's extremely far away. Strikes out a lot. Might have to move off a shortstop. I got some pop. Brian Hernandez, I got him from Seattle in the David Phelps trade. He's a tooled up Tulip outfield prospect, big July 2 signing by the Mariners. DePoto trades all of his prospects. He's a guy to follow. He can do it all, potential 5-tool guy. He's just miles away. This system is not a lot in immediate talent. Randy Gonzalez, the guy from the Mets last year. Nick Niedert, the guy from Seattle, in the same trade as Hernandez. They're potential back-end guys or bullpen pieces. The system is not as bad as the Major League roster, but it's pretty close. It's a bottom three system in the game. It's not the worst one. The worst one's coming up soon, but it's not the worst one. Because they do have some pieces I like. Some usable guys, Brian Anderson, like I said, I think Trevor Rogers can be something. I think I'm not giving up on Garrett, but they got some stuff here. Jorge Guzman, obviously. Dylan Peters I like, but yeah, it's not great, and they need a lot of help.
All right, that's going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Thank you for listening. A fantastic baseball season.